flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can Jalen Hurts beat the Washington Commanders on one leg? Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We got some fun audio yesterday. Fun, maybe it's the wrong way to put it. We got some kind of intense audio yesterday from the defensive coordinator for the Washington Commanders, Perloff,
yeah.
Who basically said if Jalen Hurts dares to run in this game, which he might be limited because of the knee, they're going to treat him like a running back, and they're basically going to try to wipe him out. Fair, strategy, no doubt. I just think that the Eagles are going to win this game and win this game. I'm not going to say easily. I think they're going to cover. I think they're going to win this game. And I don't think you need 100% Jalen Hurts to win this game against DC.
Yeah, I hope you're right because I'm an Eagles fan. But I think there's a lot of reasons to be nervous. Remember the last game they played Washington, Jalen Hurts got hurt. And it was a nightmare. So what happened was the Commanders, without Hurts being able to run and throw deep to A.J. Brown, moved up everybody, and Saquon Barkley couldn't get a yard. He was terrible. The numbers are awful. I saw them last night. He
was 29 for 150 and 2 touchdowns.
The last time, so basically after Jalen Hurts got hurt, he rushed 22 times for 41 yards. He had 8 or more defenders in the box. He averaged about 1 yard a carry, 13 times for 18 yards. Okay. He didn't get past the line of scrimmage once after Hurts went down.
So this was a 3-point win by the Washington Commanders, what you're talking about. Jalen Hurts gets knocked out early in the game with a concussion. Okay. Washington in that game had to overcome double-digit deficits of 14 points in the first quarter, and they were down 13 points going into the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. The Eagles were riding a 10-game winning streak. Jaden Daniels, yes, he threw 5 touchdowns in that game, and that's what people are going to remember. He also threw 2 picks. Brian Robinson had 2 fumbles. Dyami Brown had a fumble, and Marshawn Lattimore got called for 3 defensive pass interference penalties. If Jalen Hurts is on the field, there is no way that the Washington Commanders win that game. It took basically a miracle for the Commanders to win that game.
The Commanders.
So I just don't understand like where all this is kind of coming from. You had Kenny Pickett in, who first time comes in, throws a pick. Like, he was a disaster, and Washington still barely eked out this win. Let's go back to the first time, and it was at home, right, for Washington. That one was on the road for the Eagles. Let's go back to the first time when the Eagles played the Commanders. Hurts again gets concussed most likely in that game, but is allowed to go back into the game. You'll remember after the game, he gave a quote that said, "I guess I beat the protocol," and he was wearing sunglasses in his post-game interview with Scott Van Pelt. Definitely concussed. You know what happened? Saquon Barkley went off, 146 yards, 2 touchdowns in this game. Philadelphia won by 8 points. They scored 20 points in the fourth quarter. Like and by the way, in that game, Jake Elliott missed 2 field goals and an extra point, and they still won. I love the Jaden Daniels story, but I feel like we're getting a little over our skis here. And I know maybe you don't, you know, you see the Eagles, and as a fan, and I get it because I do this too, maybe I see some of the negative stuff.
Right.
This is a team, there's a reason why this spread, I think, started at 5.5 and is now hovering around 6.5. Like, people believe in the Eagles here, because when you really break it down of their last, of their two meetings this year, the Eagles, like, lost because their quarterback got knocked out of the game and they were on the road. And the first one, they scored 20 points in the fourth quarter and everyone, and their quarterback was compromised.
Well, I don't understand.
Where's the edge?
How are they going to move the ball? I mean, you think Jalen Hurts is going to be able to do? First of all, Jalen Hurts hasn't thrown the ball at all. I mean, he's been terrible as a passer. How, I don't understand. Like, if you're Washington, isn't this the easiest assignment ever to stop the Eagles?
Listen.
You just put everyone in the box. Barkley can't beat a box, a full box. He never has.
Okay.
And he basically, what we, they're not playing the Eagles. They're playing the 2023 New York Giants. I tell you, that's exactly
true.
Who they, this is not, so you, everyone sees Saquon Barkley running down the field against the Rams. That Saquon ain't going to be there. This is,
okay.
I saw the game. I watched it literally with my own eyes. And you it's a completely different team. With no Hurts moving his legs, and Hurts can't pass anymore. He's lost that skill completely. There's just no, I have no idea. That all sounds great, but that's all way in the past. Ever since that injury against Washington, there's no Hurts passing ball. Like, he almost threw for less than 50 yards against the Packers until the end of the game. He just has not passed the ball in forever. I'm not sure. And A.J. Brown is on the back of a milk carton. He's not there anymore. I don't even know where you're getting these points from. You're right. I like the turnovers angle, but what if Washington doesn't turn the ball over?
Okay, here's the thing about trying to stop Saquon Barkley. I understand that, you know, the totals are good. In the second game, Barkley, again, with no Hurts. And by the way, Kenny Pickett also got banged up in that game. Let's not forget that. He got checked for broken ribs.
Yeah, thank God. Get him out of there.
He finished with 150 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns. He had 100 yards rushing in the first quarter. Okay, but here's the thing.
Yeah, how many did he have in the first quarter?
Over 100 yards.
And how many did he finish with?
Okay, 50, but still scoring touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
He had 22 carries for 41 yards the rest of the game. That's terrible. That's less than 2 yards a carry. I could do that math.
How about this? Where do you think the Washington Commanders rank in terms of their rush defense?
They're terrible. I saw the Gibbs run all over them.
Yeah, 28th in the league. And if for some reason the Detroit Lions didn't get crazy, just like pass happy throwing the ball because of the Goff turnovers, Jahmyr Gibbs would have had 200 yards rushing in that game.
But okay. They stonewalled Saquon Barkley in their last game.
Okay, but what's the pattern here? Did we see Saquon Barkley have more success against defenses this year, or did we see the Washington Commanders as a whole have more success against the run? Like, you don't think that the Philadelphia offensive coaching staff understands this and can find a way to try to get Saquon Barkley a little bit more in space? I mean, you have one of the best offensive lines in the entire NFL. If you can't scheme up Saquon Barkley a couple, you know, sweeps here, passes here,
he's good
in the pass game.
That's a fantasy. Okay. If there's no pass option, if Jalen Hurts is as hurt as he looked in the fourth quarter, then no. There's no running back in the NFL who can. If there's 9 guys in the box, very possible in this game. I'm just assuming, listen, a lot of this is assuming that Jalen Hurts is really banged up.
Well, but if that's Jalen not is, exactly what the information that we're getting from practice.
You saw the game on last weekend. Don't you feel like he's going to be very limited? I just got that sense. The injury was pretty severe looking. He got his body bent back and his knee, kind of like my ski accident from last winter. I really don't think Jalen Hurts is going to be Jalen Hurts. And if Jalen Hurts is a pocket quarterback, you might as well start making your golf dates if you're the Eagles. Like, Jalen Hurts is a pocket quarterback, is not winning anything. And if you think, when has he ever done that? Just, you think he's going to drop back and just like survey the field? He'll take sacks every time. He's not comfortable letting it rip at all from the pocket. He's either got to run, take the sack, or once in a while get a deep shot to A.J. Brown, but that's not a thing anymore.
I guess the fact that he came back into the game wearing a brace, and by all accounts, he's been at practice. I know it's been limited, but that would be stupid if he was a full participant, like, no matter what. If he had a hangnail, he shouldn't be a full participant. And it looks like he's moving around. And I have no doubt that not only is he going to play, but I think there's no way, unless he's basically tears an ACL, I'll knock on wood, that he's coming out of the game. So I just think that this is going to be one of those, it's got to be all hands. And I see Saquon Barkley having success, and I see the Philadelphia Eagles winning this game. I just think you look at the first two matchups, and I can explain everything away about the second matchup. Like, that's not even real. If you don't have your starting quarterback for 3 quarters of that game, you cannot be taking massive takeaways and learning big things. It's Kenny Pickett. Who cares? What was Saquon Barkley supposed to do? Even just the threat of Hurts is better than your backup.
Well, I hope so. Yeah, and let's talk about the other side of the ball, though. Jaden Daniels, you point out all week, he's a rookie quarterback, a rookie quarterback. He's seen this defense twice. That's a huge advantage that most rookies don't get. And let's face it, there's nothing about Jaden Daniels that reads rookie quarterback. He's playing like a veteran. He's older than like 10 other quarterbacks in the NFL. He's going to be totally comfortable in this game. He's not taking sacks anymore. He can scramble out of any situation. That's the big problem. The Eagles defense looks great, but no defense looks great against a mobile quarterback. He's going to be a major problem for them.
I totally get it. And Daniels has been using his legs, but if I just gave you in a vacuum, right? Vic Fangio versus Cliff Kingsbury.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
well,
you have one of the best.
Kingsbury's really good.
That's fine.
Guy calls up good plays.
Okay.
Great in play action too.
Cool. You've got one of the best, if not the best defense in the league.
I mean, Fangio's been just boat race the last 5 years before this year. Like Fangio last year, yeah, I would give Cliff every time.
Well, that we're not talking about last year. Last year was the Dolphins.
I mean, that's a
mediocre organization.
I mean, listen, Jaden just like had his way in the last matchup. So go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, I think I would give the edge there to Vic Fangio. Because you're saying, well, Jaden Daniels has seen this defense two times. Well, Vic Fangio's seen the offense two times. And it's not like this is the first ever mobile quarterback that he's ever had to face. So
the one thing is,
while I'll give a lot of credit to Vic Fangio, the one place where I really worry about the Eagles, and especially winning the game, but also if you're talking about from a betting angle for the cover, I do worry a bit about Sirianni. I worry a little about the coaching decisions, but let's again go back to the first time that the Eagles beat the Commanders, which was in November of this year. The score was 12-10. It was a tight game until the fourth quarter, and Dan Quinn goes for it on a fourth down. Jaden Daniels gets stonewalled, and the Eagles go back the other way and score a touchdown. And then Jaden Daniels threw an interception, and the Eagles took it the other way for a touchdown. So Dan Quinn could also make some dicey decisions if they're going to be super aggressive in this game.
Well, actually, that's the most confident I would have in Washington is the fourth down thing. They're the most aggressive team, and they're the best team by a long stretch. They're incredible on fourth down, right? They were number one in the league in fourth down. Fourth and four, because of Jaden Daniels' legs, you just can't stop them. All this being said, like, your logic, like, you're aware they went into Detroit and whooped Detroit in Detroit.
Yes, yeah, I am aware of that.
And that was with a healthy Jared Goff. This is an injured Jalen Hurts. Like, I just feel like your confidence is way over the top for this particular matchup. Like, this feels like, I'm also shocked by the spread. I'm like, what are people seeing here? Like, this feels like a coin toss. This is not the same Washington team from earlier in the season. They're much more, Terry McLaurin's on an all-time heater right now. Dyami Brown is now a thing. And Brian Robinson always has success against the Eagles. Like, it just doesn't feel, it feels like a toss-up to me. That's why the 6.5, you're right. Everybody seems to be viewing this as a blowout. Do they know something about Jalen Hurts' knee that I don't?
No, I think they just see that the Eagles are a good team. And I think that the Commanders, that was an all-time great game against the Detroit Lions. I'll hand that to you. For an upset like that to happen, it takes two to tango. The Detroit Lions contributed to that upset.
That
Jared
Goff.
Yeah. And the injuries on defense that caught up to them. But Jared Goff contributed to that upset.
Yeah.
No one just comes in and overwhelms somebody when you are an 8.5-point underdog. The favorite team also has to lay an egg. And that happened a bit.
I think the fourth down thing is a major problem, too. It's just you just cannot get that team off the field. And that's, the Eagles have been, they've been like a boa constrictor in the second half of the season. They do not get off the field. So the other offense never sees it. Now Washington with that fourth and three, guess what they're doing? Jaden Daniels rolling right, and they're getting first down.
So do you think the Eagles are going to lose?
I think it's very likely. I'm definitely putting some money on the money line, because I think this is, everyone's viewing this game the wrong way. All my friends who are texting me to stop panicking. Yeah, I don't think, I think it's going to come down.
Is a therapy session?
I feel very comfortable with the 6.5.
Yeah.
I mean, Saquon always gets a late touchdown run to put it over, but I think this comes down to holding calls. This is going to be a massive, massive, huge, I can't even begin to describe how important that is. And fumbles, you mentioned, who gives it up? Who coughs it up? Jay Daniels, as you mentioned, is not huge. If you could get him to cough it up once or twice, then the Eagles are okay. I think this is going to be one of those games, much like the Bills-Chiefs always are. Mm-hmm. You know, it always comes down to one play here or there. I think this is a one play here or there game, therefore comfortably betting the Commanders.
Okay, 855-212-4227. I'll ask you guys, I mean, does is your expectation different with Jalen Hurts now compromised? It sounds like, Perloff, your expectations are definitely different with Jalen Hurts now on a bad knee. But the fact of the matter is he's a $250 million quarterback. He's on a bad knee. He's not dead. We see this all the time in the NFL, and guys come out and they play. They do whatever they can. It's probably not awesome for their long term, but this is what they do. They get out there and they play in NFC Championship games.
He was so awful on a bad knee at the end of last year. It was hard to watch. It was ineffective. And it's not even about him. If you're the Washington defensive coordinator, if you're Dan Quinn, you are just, there's, let anyone but Barkley beat me, right? Isn't that where you're coming in? So, hey, Jalen, it's up to you now. And I don't think he can do it right now because I don't think he's fully ready to go.
I mean, I think you're dismissing the power of
Drugs that can put they inject into his knee.
Definitely the power of drugs. But how about a little something called inner excellence? Train your mind for an extraordinary performance.
Oh, yeah. You know,
how about a little A.J. Brown positive energy reading books on the sideline?
The odds of A.J. Brown suddenly showing up seem remote. I got to be honest. Like, he feels like he is spiraling down towards irrelevance.
To be fair, you haven't heard any, you know, I need to get the ball more. Like,
dude read a book on the sideline because he was frustrated because he wasn't getting passes.
Listen, he's coping. this is a lot more productive than what, going after Jalen Hurts, you know, pushing the offensive coordinator, screaming at people on the sideline, pouting. Wasn't pouting.
Wait.
Is reading a book on the sideline considered bad body language? Personally, I don't think so. I think it's evolved.
Just let me read a couple A.J. Brown numbers in the playoffs. Green Bay, 1 reception, 3 targets, 10 yards. Los Angeles Rams, 2 receptions, 7 targets, 14 yards.
Go Bird!
7 targets, I mean.
Yeah, 14 yards receiving.
Listen.
This is bad.
He might ask for a trade in the offseason, but today's not the offseason.
I don't even care.
Sunday's not the offseason.
Actually, I don't think the Eagles are worried. I think the Eagles are worried about him. Like, whoa, is he any good anymore? I don't know. He's been hurt. That's the issue. His numbers have really plummeted. I think his knee is hurt, too. So this is scary times. Scary times, Maggie.
Are your expectations for the Eagles now different with Jalen Hurts on a bad knee? 855-212-4227. Got so much to get to today. The Dallas Cowboys. I'd say there are no words. But there are actually plenty of words. Some we can't say on terrestrial radio. But a lot more we can.
Yeah.
Got a theory about them, too. 855-212-4227. Of course, we'll get into the AFC as well. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. Again, amazing matchup between two quarterbacks. But Perloff, in the meantime, it's playoff time, baby. And that means our obsession, Prize Picks, has become, I want to say, unhealthy. It's healthy. We just can't really talk about anything else. We come in the morning, how'd your Prize Picks do? And if you want to get in on this fun, well, come on board. All you got to do is download the Prize Picks app. It's America's number one daily fantasy sports app. It's available in more than 40 states, including our friends in California and Texas. And it's simple. All you do is pick 2 or more players across any sport, pick more or less on their projection, press send, and you got it. You're done. Sit back, enjoy, and watch. And this has been a really fun football season with Prize Picks. We love it.
And, you know, it's Friday night. You bet a lot of different sports. Basketball. It's time to really, really hone in on college basketball and pro basketball. Go with a little Desmond Bane action tonight. Prize Picks accepts major credit cards, quick and easy deposits into your account. Join Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. It's available in 40-plus states, Maggie, California, Texas. Download the Prize Picks app today and use the code MNP and get a $50 credit instantly when you play just $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks to get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Mand P.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Okay, I'm excited about this take from you, Maggie.
Okay.
Because you're excited about it.
I am.
That's the only reason I'm excited about it. Because
thanks.
It makes no sense whatsoever, but I cannot wait to hear it.
Okay, so here's what Perloff is talking about. Now, we understand, because everyone's reporting it basically everywhere, I think Clarence Hill had it first, that Brian Schottenheimer looks like he's going to be the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes, all signs point that way right now.
Right, like it's going to happen today. So this is shocking on many levels. First of all, he was your offensive coordinator last year, but not calling plays. So he's basically a watered-down version of Mike McCarthy, who you just let go.
Right.
Then you did four interviews. Two of them may have been to satisfy the Rooney Rule, and the other two guys you interviewed were Kellen Moore, your former offensive coordinator, and Brian Schottenheimer, your current offensive coordinator. Like, this was not a real coaching search, okay?
Yeah, yeah, because Jerry only wants to hire his friends. Facts.
Okay, that's fine. But this was not a real coaching search. And I think next year, no one would have any expectations that the Cowboys would be a playoff team, let alone a Super Bowl contender, if you have Brian Schottenheimer as your coach, fair or unfair. You also have Dak Prescott coming off of a major injury, a lower body injury. You have CeeDee Lamb finish the year hurt. You have Demarion Overshawn might miss the entire year. You have Trayvon Diggs just had knee surgery yesterday. Yep. We found out that. So a lot of your star players are pretty banged up.
Yep.
It appears to me that Brian Schottenheimer is a patsy. And what I mean by that is Brian Schottenheimer is being given this job because the real motivation for the Cowboys next season is to tank. And the reason they would do that is to try to get the number one pick to draft Arch Manning. Now, this solves a lot of problems that the Cowboys have, okay? They signed Dak Prescott to this super expensive deal, but it's not a long deal, okay?
Right. 4 years, right?
Yeah, but it's
4 years where who knows when they can get out,
yeah,
right?
It's like a football contract that's 4 years is usually really two. So you're going to be paying Dak, so you're going to need a cheaper quarterback on your roster, and you're going to have to find out what life is like after Dak Prescott. Hell, you probably should have found that out this year, but that's fine. So you don't really have a clear path here. And getting Troy Aikman with the number one overall pick all those years ago, well, that really worked out quite well for the Dallas Cowboys. And it's fun and awesome when you can pluck a Dak Prescott from the later rounds or Tony Romo as an undrafted free agent, undrafted guy. But the luck runs out on that. That's not a science. That's luck to me. So trying to get Arch Manning, I think, is the non-declared goal, if you will, of the Dallas Cowboys, and they need a coach who's not going to make a fuss. Deion Sanders would not preside over an organizational tank. He's not going to do that, and he'll find every microphone to tell everybody how it's not his fault. Brian Schottenheimer will take the blame here. He'll take the slings and arrows. He's going to be Jerry's human shield to take the L's. It'll go on his permanent record. And he will end up being collateral damage. And if they all get Arch Manning, then I think it will end up being a success. And by the way, I don't think Jerry's the one who's decided this plan.
Steven. Yeah, because that's right up Steven's alley. You think of the guys who did the process, Josh Harris and that gang in Philadelphia. Steven Jones, same. I mean, it's just cutting-edge analytics.
Well,
he's basically the Sam Hinkie of the NFL.
Here's the thing about the process. The process was never ending. Like, the process never ended. All you have to do in the NFL, because there's not a lottery or anything. Yeah. So if you just have the worst record, you have the number one pick. So it's less of guesswork and one painful season to set you up for the next decade with Arch Manning. Who wouldn't sign up for that if you're a team that you know, needs a QB?
Well, the Cowboys. Because the Cowboys never do anything like that at all. The Cowboys have, for most of the Jerry Jones era, have lived around 500. That seems to be their jam.
How's that going?
I just say that's how they operate. Like, this is, they're not a cut. You know, the process, for example, the tank, the original tank, came out of like Stanford Analytics, like business school. This the Cowboys do not operate that. They're more like the show Landman. That's what's going on in Dallas.
I still need to watch that.
The one thing about Brian Schottenheimer that I'm a little confused, like, he's the most conservative coach of all time. Like, what's his claim to fame? He wouldn't let Russ cook, right? So he is not conservative. Like, he's going to try and win every game like Marty, like 21-16. That's not like a tank. Like, he's going to hover around 500.
No, I think he's being set up to fail is what I'm telling
you. No, but he's going to like let's play every close game, try and steal some wins. Isn't that his, like, kind of how he runs on first and second down, keep the game close, and then hope that he gets a bounce or two at the end?
No, his philosophy Right, and how he runs an offense has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the roster is not going to be good enough to win games. And Brian Schottenheimer, who's been in the league and been an assistant bouncing around since 1997, who's never gotten a head coaching job, despite the fact that his dad is a legendary coach. He had all the Nepo, none of the Nepo baby stuff got him a head coaching job, okay? I think they believe he cannot win games.
No, but he's going to take, I think he thinks, we have some injuries that you illustrated. I think he's like, well, maybe we're not as talented as some of these teams, but we're going to keep it close and try and steal some wins. Like, to play conservatively is a way to get too many wins. Like, you want to play radically wild. Bring in somebody who's going to throw it all over the field. Like, he's going to keep every game close because he's just going to hand it off every time, right? Isn't that Brian Schott? They're probably going to draft Ashton Jeanty and hand the ball off 45 times a game. That's not a formula for tanking. That's the opposite, right?
I think you can tank a lot of different ways. It doesn't matter as long as you
lose. Why would you tank that way? Let's try and win the most boring way possible. Like Marty, right? Like, isn't that like Marty Schottenheimer, like won, but it was like, oh God, do I have to sit here and watch this?
Okay, well, then do you think Brian Schottenheimer will be successful?
I think he'll be much like Dave Campo and Chan Gailey and Jason Garrett. I think he'll hover around 8-8.
Okay, I think that he will not be given that opportunity because I think the way that they'll manipulate the roster, not that he's going to try to lose. Guys don't try to lose. But if you're talking about the front office doing everything they can to lose, which is playing all these young guys, playing backups, not investing in the roster, having your star players hurt, making sure it takes extra time for them to get back on the field, there's ways to execute a tank.
Yeah. I'd be shocked if the Dallas Cowboys did that because it just doesn't sound like that. Sounds out of 32 franchises, the last team that would do that is where you think about like the Cowboys, like they're not a normal candidate for tanking because they're so high profile. They're going to sit there on national TV in front of 40 million and get killed every week. And also, Jerry is forward-thinking enough to tank?
No, that's what I'm saying. Jerry is not part of this. This is the same playbook that Stephen Jones used to try to keep Jerry from drafting Johnny Manziel.
Okay.
And instead drafted Zach Martin, one of the great moves in the history of the franchise. I think Stephen Jones is saying, we're not having Deion Sanders coach this team, even though I think Jerry wants him to. I think that we are going to have Brian Schottenheimer, who is going to be the patsy. And the losses are going to go on his record, and he will be the guy that people blame. And Jerry is like in his 80s now. Like, I'm not trying to be ageist, but it's probably time for Stephen Jones to take over this franchise a little bit more.
Yeah.
And wouldn't he want to do that armed with Arch Manning to start off probably like his tenure? It's almost like Jonathan Kraft in New England. You know, you want Drake May. They didn't have to like tank to do it. It kind of fell into their lap with a bad roster. But you want the guy for the future if you're the son taking over the organization. You say you're watching Landman. Isn't this part of the plot?
Well, I mean, there's two coaches who'd be great for a tank, though. I mean, Deion would be amazing, right?
He's too loud for a tank. You need quiet
for a tank. But he doesn't even know how to call plays or anything. He'd be perfect. And then Jason Witten.
Well, we'll see about Witten, but I think they like Witten too much. Like, I think they're putting Brian Schottenheimer out here to take the slings and arrows.
Yeah, I feel like hire a guy who doesn't know what he's doing. Brian Schottenheimer can run a competent, conservative NFL offense. Like, that doesn't say tank. That says, crap, we need a better draft position, and we just beat the Giants 17-13. That's exactly what's going to happen this year. Sorry, Bogus. I didn't mean to give the Giants another sling and arrow.
But that's the other thing.
You got them hovering around.
Well, I never said they were going to lose every game, by the way.
Yeah,
and you don't have to lose every game to get the number one pick.
A lot of competition. And also, too, obviously, I like your theories so much. It's really well-reasoned, but you do have CD and you do have Dak and you do have a major problem on defense. Micah Parsons, like, that guy is going to win three games on his own.
Well, three I can do. I just can't have four. 855-212-4227. Get back to the conference championship games. What do you think about my theory? Brian Schottenheimer, who nobody seems to be excited about, is actually a front for an organizational tank to get Arch Manning with the number one pick.
Former GM Mike Lombardi talked me into Schottenheimer, by the way. I can't believe it.
Here's the thing about
Schottenheimer. Yeah, I was like,
Michael Lombardi loves any coach's son.
Yeah, I know.
Like, his son got jobs because his last name's Lombardi. Like, I don't know.
But he's like, he's like, everybody thinks so highly of Brian Schottenheimer. Yes, his offenses, if not perform well, but he's a great organizer, a leader. I was like, he's basically like, He reminds me of when Matt Rhule got hired by the Panthers. I know that like he doesn't really do the X's and O's thing great, but man, like just everybody, there's some mysterious fall into line ability he has.
But yeah. We had two teams in this cycle who interviewed. Almost got to Manny in reality and didn't interview Brian Schottenheimer. The Jets and Bears interviewed 35 other people not named Brian Schottenheimer.
Well, I know, but the Jets.
He didn't talk, but if he was that well-regarded, how did he not get an interview anywhere else with six
Bogus,
openings?
Not just this year.
Ever.
The last 20 years.
This is a comical hiring.
But also, Jerry will... The most important thing, it's not about your offensive philosophy, your defense philosophy, is do you have beers with Steven at the owner's meeting? That is the number one, number two, and number three.
What's your
category.
Handicap?
Mike McCarthy did a sleepover/dinner at the Jones household. That's all that mattered. Nothing about his West Coast offense. Like, this is Jones hired their friends. That's why Jason Garrett was there for the better part of the century.
It's nine straight head coach hires that have had a connection to the organization.
Right.
They don't go outside the family.
He needs to know the people. He needs to really be comfortable with them. Jerry, this is.
You're making these points, but I haven't seen anyone really have a theory against mine, except you think Brian Schottenheimer might be a little too good to get the number one overall pick. We've got no evidence of that. Yeah. The roster's hurt, though. That's the thing.
But he'll sort of play slow and steady and... You know, to really tank, you have to be spectacularly bad. He doesn't feel spectacular. Even you're right. Nobody wants to interview him, but like at least he's been around forever. Like I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
throw him out there, hand the ball off to Rico Dowdle a bunch of times, hope for the best.
And the only injury for next season is overshown. I mean, everybody else theoretically is going to be fine for next year.
Might not be back. They're saying
okay, but they're going to have Dak. They're going to have CD Lamb. They're going to have Micah Parsons.
Deron Bland.
Like they're not. They're technically right now too good to be that bad.
Their schedule's tough.
I'm going to be convinced they're tanking unless they trade Micah Parsons. That's until that happens, I think they're going to be trying to be somewhat relevant, 8 wins, 9 wins, and then call it a day.
Yeah.
They were 8-8 three times in a row, twice over in the Jason Garrett era. They went 8-8, 8-8, 8-8. Then they had some other record, then 8-8, 8-8, 8-8. They live around 500. I've been surprised they've been 12-5 3 years in a row. They always have the same record 3 years in a row. What were they this year? 7-10?
Something like that.
So, yeah. Get ready for another 7-10 mark next year.
Well, yeah, I've made my position known. And, you know, Brian Schottenheimer is not going to say a peep. He's going to be a good patsy. Let's get to Andrew Bogish, who's got headlines.
And they're sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. Deeper. Let me get this out of the way right now. Jalen Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns voted all-star starters the first time the Knicks have had that in 50 years with Earl Monroe and Walt Frazier, the other East
what?
Star.
Who?
that was a callback to yesterday's
name. Yeah, no, I know.
His friends with Austin Crozier.
Exactly. Distant cousins.
Go Knicks!
The other East starters are Giannis, Donovan Mitchell, and Jason Tatum. LeBron, Jokic, Durant, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and Steph Curry from the West. But don't forget the All-Star game is now a four-team mini tournament. The farthest thing from the All-Star game these days, the Washington Wizards.
The Clippers are on the run. The Beard and Norm sets up far corner three. Cash! Norman Powell with a big time bucket. The Clippers lock in and force a Bryant deep timeout.
Carlos Jimenez on Clippers radio. Norman Powell the three. James Harden the assist. The Clippers the 110-93 win. The Wizards have now dropped 12 straight. Harden finished with 17 points, 12 boards, 13 assists for his 79th career triple-double, breaking his tie with Wilt for eighth all-time. Nikola Jokic with his fifth triple-double in a row, 35 points, 22 rebounds, and 17 helpers.
Oh, my goodness.
In the Nuggets' 132-123 decision over the Kings. I believe he's had all five of the triple-doubles before the fourth quarter.
Oh, my goodness.
He's ridiculous.
He also made a shot from, 80 feet away?
Yeah, we'll get to that later. The Lakers handled the Celtics 117-96, and the Hawks lost their third in a row, 122-119 to the Raptors. So, Liam Cohen will apparently be the Jaguars' new head coach after all. First, he backed out, got a raise in Tampa Bay, presumably because he didn't want to work with GM Trent Baalke, so Jacksonville booted Baalke. Cohen changed his mind, and this deal should be done today. We now have a start time for Bill Belichick's first game in North Carolina. Mm. The Tar Heels will face TCU at 7:30 Eastern on Labor Day night.
Count me in on that.
Of course.
I mean, that's going to do with like $30 million.
Novak Djokovic's pursuit of a 25th major title will have to continue because he bailed from his Australian Open semifinal after losing the first set to Alex Zverev.
Towards the end of that first set, I just started feeling more and more pain, and it was, yeah, too much to handle for me at the moment. So, yeah, unfortunate ending, but I tried.
It is a muscle tear in his left leg. There were some boos when he retired from this match. Top-seeded Jannik Sinner just beat American Ben Shelton in straight sets to join Zverev in the final on Sunday. The Atlanta Braves are signing veteran outfielder Jurickson Profar. And from the NHL, the Edmonton Oilers stayed hot, a 6-2 thumping of the Canucks. They've now won 9 of 12. Zach Hyman, 2 goals and an assist.
I believe that's pronounced Canucks.
Thanks, Manny Pucks.
That's a bad omen, by the way, that tennis result, Maggie, for your Bills.
Why?
Djokovic finally beat Alcaraz, and then he lost the next match. Josh Allen finally beat Lamar Jackson. Well, he didn't finally beat Lamar Jackson. Beat Lamar Jackson. What if Josh Allen finally beats Patrick Mahomes and loses to the NFC team?
I mean, you needed a Novak Djokovic for that possible outcome.
Is anyone else disappointed by that? Like, he beat Alcaraz, and then he beat his boogeyman, and then he just blew the next match. That's a bit of a disappointment. No, anyone?
It is. Yeah. The Bills connection. Listen, the Bills can do this all on their own. Like they can lose an Arrowhead without any kind of connection.
No,
I thought
no,
you were
no,
talking
actually,
about Jessica Pegula. I'm like, she lost a week ago.
This is yesterday's discussion. What if that Josh Allen beats Patrick Mahomes and loses the next match?
Yes, yeah, so that
kind of like
would
you
it be
said,
the most Bills thing of all time?
Well, it's like the Red Sox beating the Yankees down 3-0, then losing to the Cardinals in the World Series. Right. That would just be funny.
Which is why the Red Sox didn't lose to the Cardinals. I think that...
Yeah, I mean, if you could beat the Chiefs, you should be able to beat the Eagles or the Commanders.
The Commanders!
I'm giving the Eagles a lot more respect than you are.
Well, I mean, I think... But if you could beat the Chiefs in Arrowhead, you're certainly going to be favored. I mean, give me that.
Yeah, maybe, but
I mean,
everyone keeps
favored.
Telling
There's
me...
There's a line out there.
Everyone keeps telling me how the Chiefs are so down this year, and they're so down this year. Meanwhile, they went 15-2, and it would have been 16-1 if they didn't just mail in the last game of the season.
I don't know.
But
they said the most Bills thing ever. This was Carrington Harrison who joined us yesterday from Kansas City. It would be the most Bills thing ever if the Bills beat the Chiefs in Arrowhead and then lost to a rookie quarterback in the Super Bowl. And I had not thought about that outcome, and now I can't think about anything else. That would be devastating.
So they should just lose Sunday to avoid it altogether?
No, not that. No, I don't want to do that. No.
Really no, the worst outcome actually would be to lose to a rookie quarterback.
That's what I just said.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, sorry. I was looking up. I was actually looking
the
up.
Show the show started.
I was looking up the spread. I was trying to find the spread of the two games. And I can't find them, but they're out there, right? Like you could actually bet on FanDuel on the Bills Commanders and the Bills Eagles right now.
And then wow, Jaden Daniels.
It's 1.5 for the Bills over the Eagles. I think it's 4.5 over the Commanders.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little surprised about the Eagles thing, but sure, let's see
how
the game goes.
That's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure, Maggie.
What's the pressure?
If the Bills win, like they have to deliver. This one, like, man, that would be bad.
That would have existed whether the point spread said they were favored or not.
Yeah, but it feels like if you beat Mahomes, and man, the pressure just amps up. Like, I'd be a little tight if I was Buffalo.
The Bills make me wanna.
They could be tight anyway.
Wait,
like, they don't need extra pressure. They generally are tight in some of these bigger games.
If the Commanders win on Sunday, just look up house money in the dictionary and you're going to see a picture of Jaden Daniels. That is the ultimate house money Super Bowl. Like, nobody thought they would be there.
I can't tell if you're trying to mind bleep her or you're just being goofy Perloff right now and just.
Like, no, I'm messing with her.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I mean,
but also,
all
I do
your
believe
points
that.
Are real.
I
though.
Do actually. I do. I mean, all that does make sense.
It
like
does
the Bills,
make sense.
The Bills beating the Chiefs. I mean, Carrington sort of set this up yesterday. He was like, the way he said it was so casually. It was like a smooth, like trying to jab Maggie. Like, man, if the Bills lost in the Super Bowl after beating the Chiefs, that'd be bad.
I don't need anyone else to tell me how bad this would be.
She actually had like a small gasp when Karen just said that.
Because I hadn't considered it. I'm like, would that be the most Bills thing ever? Like, that's the part of it I didn't understand, because the Bills definitely lost to a backup quarterback in the Super Bowl. Like, that happened.
They missed a kick once, too?
Same Super Bowl.
Same game.
Same game. Thank you.
Star forgot his helmet, too. That happened.
Oof. That happened. I mean,
they're good at losing, huh?
That's why I don't think this would be that big a deal.
Why?
Because
everyone expects them to lose.
His helmet. Like, what are we doing? Like, okay, you also a rookie. Like, I think it would be devastating regardless. I don't think it would matter whether it's Jalen Hurts or Jaden Daniels.
It's just a little more of the, like, it's the icing. Like, it'd be just a little more of a jab. It's like, and they lost to a rookie quarterback the first time ever. The Bills can be very historic in how they lose things.
Yeah, I just think, not to join Perloff here, if you beat Mahomes in his building and then don't win the Super Bowl against anybody.
Yes, this is my point from yesterday.
Yeah,
it's not enough to just beat Mahomes. And you guys were telling me, no, he just has to beat Mahomes. He doesn't. No.
There's a little bit of a maybe Saquon. You could say, you could squint and see, wow, Saquon Barkley, you lost to Saquon Barkley. That's okay.
That would be unforgivable after you stopped Derrick Henry. Yeah. Like, you can't, we can slice this any way. You can't, held Derrick Henry under 100 yards. You can't lose a game to Saquon Barkley. Stopping the run like that should not be the reason why the Bills lose the Super Bowl.
I mean, Barkley was 5% better than Henry this year. Barkley's probably going to, is he going to win Offensive Player of the Year?
He might.
Yeah. So, Derrick Henry's a little old. I don't know. I just think that this would be bad for you, Maggie. I think you'd be really miserable.
Yeah. And you're going to have to work with me every day.
That being said, if you lose to a limping Jalen Hurts, that'd be so funny. I would come in on that Monday just really feeling good about myself.
On the flip side, positive notes. Let's fast forward through two Bills wins, and they're finally champs. Will you go to sleep Sunday night before the Monday morning show?
Definitely not.
Will you still be drunk at a 5 a.m. New Orleans local time start?
That's probably frowned upon in this establishment.
It's not.
We're on a delay, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Finally.
Would I be drunk on the air? I don't know. I've worked really hard to get here. I don't want to blow it.
Well, I don't mean like, like slobbering drunk, but like still buzz.
I'm kind of like 0 or 100.
Okay. So it's either bathtub or nothing. All right.
Kinda.
Fine.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I mean, that's just a little about me.
Wow. We just learned a lot.
855-212-4227. Yeah, the middle is not really where I live. Coming up, a lot more to do, including crazy stuff going on with the coaching cycle. We'll do it.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Whether you want to in a bear market or
sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Next. Welcome back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We'll get back to the NFL coaching stuff in just a moment. The Jags did a bizarre thing, firing their general manager way late in the game because they were apparently the last to find out that he was hampering their head coaching search. And now they're targeting Liam Cohen, who is the offensive coordinator for the Bucs, who we thought had just signed a new deal to remain their offensive coordinator. But in a small detail, the contract was never signed, which is just, this whole thing is just, it's so embarrassing for the Jags, Perloff. We knew Doug Peterson was getting fired probably 2 months ago. The fact that they get caught like kind of with their pants down in this way, totally unprepared. The coaching and GM cycle is far down the road and every other team It's just super, super embarrassing for this Jags franchise.
Well, I mean, they have done interviews, so they've been in the mix. But it's weird. Like, everyone else knew Trent Baalke was unliked by the coaching candidates. How did they not? Or did they not read the websites?
Listen, I get you don't want to let the outside noise kind of infiltrate the building, but somebody should be paying attention to it. And I don't even think it's the media. There's like three agents that represent every coach and general manager candidate in the United States. Call one of those agents. Hey, what do you guys think about our GM? Well, you know what? My coach, my client doesn't really want to interview there. Like, you can find this out from reputable sources. You don't need me and Perloff and, you know, Colin Cowherd to tell you.
I mean, listen, the only thing I'll defend the Jags, the Niners did the same thing with Trent Baalke. You know, this Trent Baalke's sort of caused problems with two franchises. Like, Trent Baalke kind of got, Harbaugh's gone. He's a Baalke, so
more unforgivable. Already watched this play out in a different place. Why do you think he'd be any different?
Defend Shad Khan. He's not the only owner to get duped by this guy. He must be incredibly charming in the office or something. Like, he must be a great hang in
bringing
the coffee.
Bringing donuts on a Friday.
For some reason, like, Trent, we don't even know. Like, I almost want to hire Trent Baalke because it doesn't seem like anyone wants to fire him despite obvious evidence.
Well, you don't want to hire him. You got dead weight. He's just charming dead weight. I mean, the guy must have a ton of riz, but I don't think he can run a football team, unfortunately.
Well, unfortunately, that riz doesn't work with coaches because coaches don't seem to like that guy, obviously.
Doesn't everyone at some point in your life work with a guy like it appears Trent Baalke is, which is the guy who's not that great at their job, but somehow can charm the bejesus out of the bosses? Like, I've worked with people like this before, they do is so naked and obvious. I'm like, you are so clearly sucking up to the boss, and the boss doesn't care. The boss is like, oh, no, of course Bill wanted to, you know, buy me this bottle of whiskey or something. You know, just naked, blatant sucking up.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, everyone knows a coworker. Like, coworkers are one person to you and then a completely different person to their boss. We all know that. And by the way, I think we all
managing up.
I say we all know that guy, we all are that guy, too.
Shades. I mean, you got to take care of your people.
I don't even know if they're shades. I think we're all pretty much like that, but it's like the worst. Like, oh, dude, you're such a phony. I just love calling out workers like that after the meeting. Because I'm the same way. Like, everybody kisses their boss's butt. I mean, we all want to stay employed.
Well, it's just funny because there's always a time, like a crossroads, when you have to agree with something that your boss says that you wholeheartedly do not agree with, right? Just to kind of save face, keep it moving. Like, there's been things that bosses have said. I'm like, great point, boss. I'm like, in the back of my mind, I'm like, what are they talking about?
Yeah.
I just do the wow.
Do you do it?
Wow.
Like,
you know, you could say, like, yeah, can you believe it?
Yeah, that's another one. Yeah. Like, or actually, that's crazy.
You've given me the wow a lot now that I think about it. Wow. Yeah, like, I think that.
Shane Gilgeous-Alexander sucks. I'm like, wow, that's crazy.
I didn't say Shane Gilgeous-Alexander sucks. I just said he doesn't even know how to pass. Like, no coach ever talks. This is a chest pass. This is a bounce pass. Learn it.
Wow. 855-212-4227. All right, we got a big question about Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, and we're going to answer it next.
Wow!